T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5th District Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is kind enough to join the show. Congresswoman Omar, as all our guests, is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Ilhan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. A lot to get to. Let's start with Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy and what he has done and what he's trying to do involving you. He has telegraphed this for months as he was pursuing the speaker position. He started yesterday when he made it official that he's denying Congressman Schiff and Swalwell seats on the House Intelligence Committee. Part of what he said is, I cannot put partisan loyalty ahead of national security. He has also talked for a while about preventing you from taking your spot on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, citing your comments about Israel, the reaction to it, and even Steve Scalise saying those are anti-American views. Right now, we've had multiple Republicans come out and say, this is not the way to go. Victoria Spartz and Nancy Mace, and saying they will not go along with the vote. Do you believe you have enough votes to prevent Kevin McCarthy from denying you the spot on the Intelligence Committee as it stands as of now?
Well, Chad, thank you so much for having me. And it's the Foreign Affairs Committee will be.
My mistake. Foreign Affairs.
No worries. That I will be appointed to, which is a committee that I've now had the opportunity to serve on for the last two terms. It's a committee that I am set to be a ranking member for the Africa subcommittee, which is, again, a subcommittee I've also served on in the last two terms as the only African-born member of Congress. I don't know where the votes are in the moment and, you know, when he plans on taking this action. What I do know is that this action and what he has done to Representative Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell actually contradicts the statement that he's making. You know, we are members who have served on these committees. We've served diligently. We've served respectfully. And we've served in many ways nonpartisanly, bipartisanly. These are committees oftentimes where members on both sides of the aisle work closely together on behalf of our nation when it comes to foreign policy or national security. And I clearly don't understand how he can say that's what he's interested in doing and then do this very partisan work of removing the two members from the Intel Committee and trying to block me from serving on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Have you talked directly with Kevin McCarthy about this? Would you be willing to talk to him? Do you think, if so, it would be productive in any manner?
I am willing to talk to him. Of course, I'd like to, you know, it feels personal because he's been making this promise before I even got sworn in to Congress 4 years ago. And so clearly there are other reasons that they believe as an immigrant, as a refugee, as a Muslim woman, that I do not deserve or I'm not American enough to serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee. But given the opportunity to have a conversation with him, I would take that. I would love that opportunity.
I have no doubt that sadly every single day you face Islamic hate. I see it on Twitter. I see it with texts that come in here or tweets that pop up on my timeline if I mention you are coming on. So let's separate those and the filth from those. For the individuals who still look back at the comments that we have discussed on the show multiple times about right. Israel, where people felt like they were anti-Semitic, and still have pause about those comments and have some reluctance about you serving on the committee, to those who are open-minded, what would you say to them?
Well, one, I have acknowledged my mistakes. I have apologized, and I have clearly been out there doing everything that I can to fight against anti-Semitism and its rise. I do that for all forms of bigotry and work in a very compassionate, collaborative way with the communities that I serve that face hate every single day and whose lives are in danger of that. My policy disagreements on the Foreign Affairs Committee and in Congress when it comes to Israel is not grounds for denying me the ability to represent the voice that I represent, that obviously my constituents have elected and re-elected now three times, and, you know, the important and unique voice that I bring. I don't serve on a Middle East subcommittee. I serve on the Africa subcommittee because I have a unique experience and interest in regards to the policy for the continent. And I don't know if there are that many people outside of, you know, McCarthy and the base that he's playing into that are xenophobic and anti-immigrant, anti-African, that believe the only African-born member of Congress, the one that's ever served in the history of Congress, should not be a voice on a subcommittee on Africa.
Let's switch to the debt ceiling in this immense crisis, which is looming. We've already passed it, but the Treasury Secretary can make adjustments until we get to June. The debt continues to rise. Let's also point out that the debt ceiling increase has been okayed almost 50 times by Republicans, that President Trump, when he was in charge for his 4 years, signed off on a debt ceiling increase three separate times. But I ask this, the White House is saying we're not going to negotiate at all, that it's paying our past bills, and that's what it is. But we have the debt and the deficit that continue to increase. When Joe Biden was vice president, he negotiated with Mitch McConnell. Barack Obama okayed that. Shouldn't we be able to do both, that we sign off on increasing the debt ceiling, don't put our economy in any more of a crisis situation, but also negotiate because we do have Republicans and Democrats who are in charge, and we can try to get big things done in some way to slow down the increase of the debt?
I mean, we certainly should work to balance the budget. What I don't think we should be doing is holding the debt ceiling, increasing the debt ceiling hostage to negotiations. If you remember when I got sworn in, it was the longest shutdown in U.S. history for about like 35 yep. days. And it was negotiated to end the shutdown without any concessions. And I think that's what the Republicans, again, are looking to do, hold our country hostage and then eventually say yes. The president has been very clear in saying we are willing to negotiate, make concessions, do everything that is necessary. Those conversations need to happen outside of the work that we need to do in paying our bills and increasing the debt ceiling. And so I think we can do both. I don't think the debt ceiling conversation should be held hostage into the negotiations of balancing our budget.
So just to pin that down, if Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and the Republicans in the House say, we're not negotiating, we will not sign off on the debt ceiling increase unless we get some negotiations, are you willing to say no to that? And if McCarthy then signs off on what could lead to a government shutdown, you will say, I am not going to negotiate at all. And so if this shutdown happens, it's on McCarthy, but I'm not going to, I don't want the Biden administration be involved in any talks on this particular point.
I think it is unfair to the American people to say that we are going to shut down the government unless politicians are willing to negotiate. I think negotiations can happen without the threats of shutting down our government. I hope that they are sensible enough to come up with policies around balancing the budget that the White House can negotiate and Democrats in the minority in the House and in the majority in the Senate can as well without threatening to shut down the government.
Two last points, and we'll let Congresswoman Omar go. We appreciate her coming on. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You approved of a special prosecutor looking at classified documents involving President Biden. There are Democrats who look at this and say Joe Biden has lost the high road. Joe Biden is going to put himself in a position to be criticized when before this was all on President Trump. And some want to say congratulations to Joe Biden on one term, and they want someone outside of Joe Biden, a Democrat, to be the next president of the United States. Are you at that point, or do you want to tell us right now that you're 100% supporting Joe Biden to continue into his second term?
I have been very clear in the fact that the president in the last 2 years has worked diligently with us here in the House and in the Senate to deliver for the American people. And I believe if he chooses to continue to do this work and serving, and he believes he is still up to it, that he will have my support as the Democratic nominee for president.
I want to get your final thoughts on what has taken place over the last week at Hamline with an adjunct professor putting in a syllabus in our class and then telling the students that a historic portrait of the Prophet Muhammad would be shown. Even with the warning, there was a prominent member of the class who was very upset about it, felt like it was something that an individual of the Muslim faith, because of their belief, should not be shown, and this was insulting and was an outrage, and the adjunct professor was not brought back, and it caused a lot of conversation. There's been backpedaling by the university saying we may have handled this poorly. We'd like to apologize to the adjunct professor. She is still suing the school. We now had a vote from the faculty in the last 24 hours where they have voted 72-21 to remove the Hamline professor. As one who is very visible and has spoken about her Muslim faith in this conversation and is well aware of the story, what is your view on how this has played out so far and what should happen going forward?
I think that the conversations that have been had, even though I've not been privy to them as much as you might have, are, I think, are healthy and helpful. I don't believe that the professor should have lost her job. I think the situation does not feel Islamophobic to me. You know, I don't think someone doing something that feels against my faith or the ways in which I feel is appropriate in practicing it does not offend me. And it shouldn't really offend people. We live in a society where it is important for us to coexist. This is obviously historic art, and art and culture exist for a reason. And I think if the student felt that she did not want to experience it herself, I think it would have been appropriate for her or him to excuse themselves instead of, I think, making all of us have to answer for this really unfortunate situation and leading to a professor losing her job.
Do you have an opinion on whether the president of the university should be let go because of the way she handled this situation?
I do not.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate the time. We'll reach out again.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar on the show. A lot of people reacting. We appreciate that at 651-461-9226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.